Today, we are in a sausage race all the way to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We'll eat some cheese curds, drink some beers, and hang out in the parking lot at a good old-fashioned sausage party. It's a... tailgate party. It's American Family Field, home of the Brewers, this week on Ballpark Road Trip. This is Ballpark Road Trip. If you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on the show, we will be traveling around to each major league city, talking to locals who know their home ballparks inside and out. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder. Today, we are in the Midwest, seeing a game in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and talking to Chuck Kreichel about his experiences at American Family Field. Can I just call it Miller for the rest of the podcast? I mean, I know it will become second nature someday, like how I've gotten used to Progressive Field or Oracle Park, but Miller just sounded like Wisconsin. And when I was there in 2005, that was my main takeaway. It really felt like I was seeing a game in Wisconsin. But let's back up. How did I end up in Milwaukee in 2005? Well, I had been living in New York for a year, and while I was there, working and seeing baseball games, I was also applying for grad schools. After a year of working for a Broadway producer, I was ready to take the next step and go to school for directing theater. I ended up getting accepted at Illinois State University, which meant I was going to have to move to Bloomington, Illinois. Not Bloomington, Indiana, Bloomington, Illinois. You know, halfway between St. Louis and Chicago, like an extended rest stop with a university. Anyway, my brother came to visit me in New York to help me pack, and we took a trip up to Cooperstown to see Dennis Eckersley get inducted and my favorite broadcaster, Lon Simmons, get the Ford Frick Award. Then we packed up and drove west. We stopped in Pittsburgh and went to another game at PNC Park, and then ended up in Bloomington on day one of the 2004 Democratic National Convention. I remember this because it was on that night that I was eating takeout pasta from a pizzeria in town and just in a hotel room, and watched a young senator from Illinois who gave the keynote address. And I remember thinking, man, this guy's a good speaker. I can see him being president someday. And wouldn't you know it, just 4 years later, he was. I had already been to Bush and Wrigley, so at this point, while I was living in Illinois, going to... So during my first year of grad school, I was living, taking classes, directing shows, and thinking about all the ballparks I could knock off my list. I had already been to Busch and Wrigley, so at this point, I still needed a White Sox game. But I kept putting it off for that first year. However, it was also only 3 hours to Milwaukee, perfect for an overnight and a game. So I decided to take a quick trip. I drove up on a Saturday, drove around town for a bit, and headed to the ballpark. We were still in the MapQuest era, a far cry from Google Maps, so I was kind of randomly looking around and following signs, didn't really do much downtown. But I followed the signs over to Miller Park, parked in the parking lot, and made my way up to the stadium. I say up to the stadium because it really is a slight uphill climb from the parking lot to the front gates. You pass a Little League field and keep walking up a path. It's pretty impressive, though, when you get there with its big glass windows and brick arches, especially since there's nothing else really around it, just the flatness of the parking lot. Inside, the main feature has to be those big glass windows behind the first and third base stands, especially at dusk when I was there. The colors coming in through those windows added a fantastic Midwestern ambiance, something I wasn't expecting and had not seen at my other... At this point, I think I'd only been to Arizona. So yeah, this was showing me a completely different way of designing a retractable roof stadium and letting natural sunlight in, which is pretty important. I had a bratwurst and a beer, of course, kept it simple but quintessential Milwaukee. I drove there and was there by myself, so I couldn't indulge too much, but I did see a lot of people having a really good time on a Saturday night at the ballpark. The atmosphere was electric, even in the middle of May. It just felt like this was the place to be in Milwaukee that night. I'd definitely go back, especially with a group, to tailgate. Tailgating has always been a big part of my life growing up at the Oakland Coliseum. My dad's work used to have a tailgate party every year when I was a kid. And when I was an adult living with my roommate, we used to have tailgate parties at the A's game all the time. So you can be sure that I will be at a tailgate party on September 26, 2024, the last game at the Oakland Coliseum. So I would love to tailgate in Milwaukee. I would love to go tailgate for like a Big Ten football game in the Midwest somewhere. Not sure when that will happen, but I do know one thing. I will be having the bratwurst in the fridge for lunch after I finish recording this episode. But before that, it's time to talk American Family Field with our guest, Chuck Kreckel.
American Family Field.
Joining me today is Chuck Kreckel. Chuck, how long have you been a Brewers fan?
Well, I was born in 81 and my dad's from here originally. So pretty much since I was a very little kid. So at least since 83, 84.
Oh, nice. And are you from Milwaukee proper or the area around?
My dad is, I've lived all over Texas, Wyoming. I am in Milwaukee now. I've been here 16 years.
Oh, fantastic. So you went to the old County Stadium as well?
Yes, not as many as I'd like to, but I went to probably four or five as a kid.
Now, are you a season ticket holder? Do you get your tickets game to game? How do you go about going to games?
I have a partial season tickets, 20 game pack. Still end up at about almost half a season anyway. So,
and where do you like to sit? Where did you choose your seats for this partial pack?
There was a few years where I was in the club level, which is very... It's a sophisticated area, you know, it's got padded seats and the air conditioned concourse. Yeah. And that was great, but got a little too pricey for me. So I actually do have the cheapest available package and I end up wandering. And if it's a middle of the week game, I can usually find somewhere different vantage points.
Nice. So that's a great way to transition into what we like to talk about on this show. This is mostly for people who may not be from the Milwaukee area, people coming into town and want to visit a game. But let me ask you first, do you call it American Family Field or do you still call it Miller?
I mean, I'll catch myself calling it Miller once in a while, but I'm one of the few that I do call it American Family, and I'm one of the few that didn't care for, I mean, I didn't hate the name change. My beef was more with Miller because they didn't even put up a bid to keep the name. So, you know, it's... Oh, okay.
Was that an issue when that changed? You said there was a little controversy. Were people having strong opinions about that?
I mean, it wasn't anything, you know, like legally like bad or anything, but it was a lot of people were annoyed because, you know, they have Busch Stadium and they have Coors Field and like, you know, it just fits to have another beer stadium and we weren't able to keep that.
So... People who want to come to the game and don't know the stadium very well, let's start from the beginning. How would you recommend getting to the game?
Okay. It all depends. If you do have a parking package, pass, you know, that always works. I haven't parked in a lot personally in a very long time because right down the road on Blue Mound Road, there are several bars. And actually in the surrounding area, there are several bars that do a shuttle service. And if you can find parking either in their lots or on the streets around the bars, you know, it's free parking. And most of the bars, your only requirement is to get one drink or maybe some food or something. And then you're, you know, you can go there and come back and you don't need a pass to go back to there or anything. So works out nicely there.
Any price for those shuttles, or is it just frequenting the establishment?
Let's see. One of the places, I actually wearing the shirt, Kelly's Bleachers. It's one of the better places. If you're more of a regular there and go to a lot of the games, you really don't have to buy anything to get on. It's most bars are just like, can you buy a drink? Can you get some food? And then you're automatically cool to go. So
when you visit these places, do you like them more pregame or postgame?
I think I like pregame a little more. Postgame, it gets a little sloppy, you know. So it does,
right.
You know, they do like the drinks around here. So
so when I picture American Family Field, I picture like a ballpark kind of out in the middle of a bunch of parking lot and not really close to like a neighborhood. Am I wrong about that, or are these bars kind of in a different area?
There's neighborhoods surrounding everything, so you're very close to neighborhoods and bars. And you're only, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes from downtown, and there's like a big casino right by also. So it's not, you know, it's not in the middle of nowhere really, but there's a reason why we kept it in the spot that we kept it instead of putting it downtown. It's because of the tailgating culture, and we want to keep that tailgating culture.
So a lot of people, when they come to visit these parks, like I've visited all the parks, and I kind of like to experience what the locals experience. So
yep.
Let's say I want to rent a car and I've got some equipment and I want to tailgate. What should I know about tailgating at American Family Field?
It's just not complicated. A lot of people love to do huge, you know, huge setups and do this and that. And a lot of the tailgates I've been a part of have been with groups of 20 plus people, and, you know, they have tables everywhere. They have things that, but you can go and just have a mini Weber grill and a few hot dogs and a few brats, a few burgers and whatever snacks you want, and have like a table and you're good to go, and some chairs. You know, you don't have to bring a whole kitchen sink for a lot of it.
What do you think about the idea of someone, if they wanted to participate in tailgate culture and they're from out of town and they're on their own, do you think it is okay etiquette to come up to someone's tailgate party and see if you can invite yourself or give them?
I would say 98% of the people there are like, oh yeah, come on over, you know, because most of the time they will have way too much food, way too much beer, way too much soda, way too much water, whatever. And most of the time they'll be like, yeah, sure, come on over. And, you know, and it's so much fun out when you do that. I just haven't done it in a while personally.
Cool. Now, is there any way to catch public transportation to the game? Is that an option where it's located in Milwaukee?
I'm not 100% sure on where it drops off for buses wise. There are some that are in the area. But even if it's not really close to the stadium, it's maybe a 10 minute walk from where a drop off that I know of. But they have certain spots for Lyft and Uber to specifically drop you off and everything. And that's what I've noticed. I haven't been dropped off at the stadium in a long time, but I'll always get dropped off at the bars that are by the stadium.
Right. Cool. So you say you like to kind of move around when you go to the game, and maybe before you had season tickets. Where do you recommend people sit when they come to the games, other than, you know, behind home plate on the field level?
Right.
Are there any areas that you think are good vantage points at American Family Field?
Almost every spot is a good spot. Almost. There are a couple view restrictions of up in the terrace. Right field and left field sides, you're just pretty far up. And on the left, left field side is probably the most difficult because you have Bernie's Chalet over there. So it's blocking the Jumbotron, first of all, and then you can only see probably about a quarter of the field. But other than that, there's some that are far away that you really can't. But other than that, there's really not a bad seat for a view of the game, honestly.
Where,
just those 2 seconds.
Where do you end up going a lot when you move around? Do you go to a new place every time, or do you have certain sections?
There's one in particular, first base side, first level. That's kind of the big issue I have with the stadium, is there's not a lot of regular standing room spots. like the actually designated for standing room. But when I do it, that first base side, you know, you got kind of a bar setup where you just kind of can set your things down and stand and watch. And also on the second level on the first base side, there's they put up this Third Street Market for food and everything, and there's tables all over the place in there, and some views for the game as well.
That's great. You've mentioned now a couple of different places, so let's talk about some of the other places around the park that if people want to explore.
Yep.
And if people don't know, what is Bernie's Chalet? What is that area that you're talking about that you mentioned?
It's above, almost above everything, but it's kind of next to the terrace level on the left field side. It's where, you know, it's shaped like a chalet and everything, and it's where Bernie is for the most of the games, you know, our mascot. And he kind of sits, he stands up there and cheers him on, and for home runs he goes down our slide, you know, and it gets the kids going. And it's a really cool looking spot, and it's been there since, you know, 2002 when we first had it. So
that's not something that people can get close to, right? That's just for the mascot that is closed off. Or can you get up there and get relatively close?
Since it's sponsored by American Family now, there's a thing you can sign up for to spend an inning or two up there with him. So family could go up there and just hang out with him, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's kind of fun. So what about the rest of the stadium? Are there any places that people should make sure they visit either inside or on their way from the parking lot on the outside of the ballpark? Yep. What are some places that people should visit?
Right from home plate outside is there's a Little League field, and it is it's like in the same direction as American Family Field and everything. And on the inside, if you are able to get inside, sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. There's actually a plaque in there on the ground where home plate of County Stadium actually was. And so that's the comparison of exactly of where it was and everything. So it's almost in the perfect spot where County Stadium was, almost shaped perfectly and everything. So,
and that's you're saying that is in the Little League ballpark, or that is right around it?
It's on the inside actually. So if one of my friends had a Little League game, his kid had a Little League game, and I went in there, that was the first time I ever saw it. And I was like, okay, that's actually where home plate was, you know, this cool. is where Hank Aaron stood. This is where Eddie Matthews stood. This is where, you know, that was really cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right outside of Hellfair is, they actually have this huge, memorial of the 57 Braves who won the World Series. And that's, you know, our city's only World Series. And the plaques and everything, it shows the entire lineup of the team, the coaches and everything, the year, the scores of the playoffs and all that. So that part's really cool.
Nice. Yeah. You said that American Family Field doesn't necessarily have a lot of great standing room places, but what about these new kind of social spaces that they've been adding in ballparks? Are there any places where you can go and hang out during the game and maybe have a drink or watch the game from?
Like I mentioned, there's the Lowe's level, it's the second level. First base side, there's a thing called Local Brews where it's all Wisconsin made breweries and different types of beer. A little pricey, but it's pretty good stuff. And on right next to it, they just built it this year. They made there's a thing downtown in Milwaukee called Third Street Market Hall, where there's just restaurants and shops and everything. Well, they made a replica kind of that on that Lowe's level next to the local bars, where you can get specialized tacos, even sushi, barbecue, empanadas, all kinds of good things. And from there you can, there's views of the game from there. And it's Milwaukee, so you can find anywhere to grab a drink.
Now, that brings me to food and beverages. And I think I usually talk food, but I think I'm going to have to talk beverages because we're in Milwaukee. So, but let's talk food first. Let me ask you about yourself first. Are you a traditionalist? Do you do the hot dog and basics? Do you like trying the new extreme things that they have at ball games? Or do you bring your own food or eat at the bars beforehand?
I've done it all, but sometimes I'll just like a regular hot dog. But you know, they have grown so much with the variety now; it is crazy. Like almost anything you'd be hungry for, they have. You know, we have specialized burgers, specialized hot dogs, like topped with whatever. Like I said, this market thing has barbecue sandwiches and all this and that. And I've, you know, I pretty much tried it all now, and it's, I have yet to be like, ooh, that wasn't very good, you know? So
have you tried anything that sounded weird at first, or something that's unique that you've had there? They do the Fruit Loops hot dog in Cleveland, I believe, and things like that.
They got a couple of things. I think the last thing I saw was like a Wisconsin hot dog, but you know, it's like, okay, so it's going to be just a regular hot dog. No, it's like topped with all kinds of stuff, including cheese curds. So,
Right. Any other place to get cheese curds? Is that a thing, like a snack, a fried cheese curd, or is it mostly a topping?
It's fried. It's fried. There are a couple stands. Sargento is a, I don't know if it's worldwide, but it's at least local cheese spot. You get all kinds of different types of cheese and everything from them. But they have a stand that's just, it says fries and curds. That's all they have for cheese, regular fries or cheese curds. And it's, yeah, that's where you can get them specifically. And but they usually, you can top them off on anything really. It's a little much for me, but.
Yeah. Now, you guys have your cheese curds up in Wisconsin. Do you guys do the Canadian thing? Do you ever put gravy on your fries and cheese curds, or is it
Nope,
just cheese curds as a topping?
Cheese curds, yeah, it's just usually by itself or as a side or whatever. And majority of people, I think, like them fried more like me. Some people do. I mean, you can buy them at the store just as chunks of cheese, you know, a cold
right.
cheese in the store, and it works.
Now, drinks. I'm not a huge beer person, but tell us about beer and drinking culture in Milwaukee and at the game. Is that, say, you know, it, like I said, like you said before, the stadium was named after the local beer. So is that what you find in American Family Still, is mostly Miller?
Miller is the, yeah, it's the standard go-to, but there's such a variety now. I mean, you can get 10 to 15 at almost every stand now of different, you know, some have Coors, some have, we just don't have Bud. Thank you. Appreciate that. but since Miller and Coors are affiliated now, some places have Coors, and there's a lot of local breweries too. So it's, I always encourage them to try the local stuff.
And you can find that local stuff at the game as well. They'll do some of those local breweries.
Oh,
great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. You mentioned already Bernie, right? And so what other kinds of traditions might we find at the game in Milwaukee? Do you guys sing any songs that are other than Take Me Out to the Ball Game? Do you have any in-between innings traditions?
In-between is not... aside from seventh inning stretch, there we don't do a ton of other. I mean, the in-game entertainment stuff is most of the time pretty entertaining. They got a, you know, the cap shuffle and things like that. And depending on the theme night and all that, we have tons of theme nights too. So different types of stuff. But seventh inning stretch, you have to stand for seventh inning stretch, and then we all sing Roll Out the Barrel.
Oh, and, what's Roll Out the Barrel? I feel like I
You'll have to, it's a catchy, it's a polka song, basically.
Is it a local Milwaukee song, or is it just a fun kind of polka that goes with
it's,
the...
It's German, and it's, I mean, it's not in German, but it is German, and it's a very, it's a really catchy tune, and everybody around here absolutely loves it. We hear it all the time from all the way up from, you know, Green Bay Packer games to Badger games down here. You know, it's everybody loves it here.
Now, if people wanted to sing along, do they put words up on the board, or do they expect everyone to know the song already?
Oh, it's it is on the Jumbotron if you don't know.
Great. And I also know, unfortunately, I know it from a incident with a baseball bat, but you guys do your sausage races as well.
Yep.
That still goes, still going on.
It is, it's almost become a gambling culture actually with it. So, you know, it's a lot of people, the latest one that was, that came out was the Chorizo, who has a really cool sombrero. And so a lot of people are a big fan of his, and like, you know, I am German and Irish, so I go for the bratwurst most of the time. And, you know, it's always amazing. And Sunday they do a regular race where the regular sausages go at kind of half speed and don't get in front of each other, and they give a tag to these, they call them the mini weenies, and they're like kids that are in very small portions of the uniforms, and they're the ones that actually do the racing, and sometimes it has a hilarious outcome. So
oh, that's great.
And it kind of gets me with some of these other spots. The only one I would say that compares that might be as good, but not quite as good as the President's Race out in D.C.
Right.
That's the only other one.
And just to be fair, you mentioned two of the sausages. You got chorizo and brat. What's our third sausage?
I got chorizo, bratwurst, regular hot dog, Italian, and Polish.
So, and when does that happen? Does that happen at a specific inning every?
That is end of the sixth, I believe, or it's like in between the six. Yeah, that's when.
Okay. You said you have a song in the seventh inning. Do you guys have any song, like a victory song or anything you play after games?
We got a little trendy over the years whenever we win. For a bunch of years, it was Hall & Oates, Making My Dreams Come True. This year, they started up Glory Days from Bruce Springsteen. So
nice.
People like singing along to that afterwards. One kind of thing on Sunday games is, you know, the God Bless America. It's sung by the same guy, has been for years and years and years, Bob Kozlowski, and he works at the like employee services or the guest services, you know, booth at the first level. And we just know everybody knows him, and he's the bright spot of that song every single time. So,
oh, nice. That's great. That's on Sundays.
Yes. And maybe like Memorial Day and 4th of July, that kind of thing, but mostly cool. Just Sunday games.
So you guys seem, you know, very nice up in Wisconsin and up in the Midwest. But let me ask, can visiting fans feel free and safe wearing their team colors when they come to the game?
Well, everything, I'd say, you know, 99% of the teams that come up, we have great conversations. They have great conversations. Everybody comes up, says we love this place. It's the Cub games where I discourage people from going. That's the only time that's bad. And I've been
and
to
that's
Wrigley
your main that's your main rival, right? You guys are about an hour and a half away from Chicago.
Yep. And the issue is, my theory is that a lot of them aren't even from Chicago. They're from southern Wisconsin, and they don't want to go to Wrigley, so they come up here and they don't know how to act, and then the Brewer fans, it turns out the worst in them too. And I mean, there's fights all the time, and it's just it's not an enjoyable experience with the Cubs. But every other one, it's been, I don't know, even Dodger fans, and you know, anybody that's like, ugh, can't stand those fat fan base or Philly fans or whatever, I end up having great conversations. So yeah.
Nice. Okay. Great. Since we haven't really talked retractable roof at all, how often or how likely is it that a visiting fan will get a game with the roof open? When I came and visited, it was a Saturday night in, I think, May, a long time ago, and the roof was closed. How often does the roof open?
I don't know that. I think the rule is it's supposed to be at least 65 for it to be open. And if there's a threat of rain, even, they're going to shut it just straight up. And like Sunday's game, I almost melted. It was so humid in there. They opened and closed it about 3 or 4 times. And it was like, you know, and they opened it as Braun was given his, you know, Wall of Fame speech the Walk of Fame, I should say. And that's probably one of the only issues I have with the roof is it's not climate controlled. So if it's 90 degrees that day and a storm's coming through, they shut the roof. That place turns into a sauna. So,
oh, wow. Okay. So what is the roof? What is your retractable roof meant for? Like, you know, Miami, it's all about these tropical storms and the rain, and Phoenix, it's all about the heat, you know, and whatnot.
Right.
So mm-hmm. What is yours weather conditions in Milwaukee that make for a retractable roof?
Actually cold, first of all. Like if it's, you know, we barely have the roof open in April, usually never in April and May. We'll have a day or two in there if it's nice, but it's mainly just for the cold, really. But then when it's warm enough, or when it's basically just so we always have baseball, so there's no rain delays, there's no cancellations, anything like that. And they just put in a bunch of money for renovations to make it like a year-round kind of place, so that we can get concerts in there and different sports can do certain things in there and all that kind of thing. You know, like Cub fans will complain because they can, but like the roof will be shut. And if it's a bad enough rainstorm, it will leak a little bit. And they'll be like, oh, great, great thing you got the roof, guys, is leaking in here. I'm like, every single retractable roof leaks, dude. You should know this. Yeah. But for the most part, it's just, everybody knows they're going to come to Milwaukee. You're going to get a game regardless. So
You mentioned Ryan Braun and a Walk of Fame. Is that something that people can visit? Is there a Walk of Fame or a Brewers Hall of Fame or anything for people to walk around if they wanted that history?
There's two things on the outside of the stadium as you walk around before you get in. There's called the Wall of Fame and the Walk of Fame. The Wall of Fame, that one's more just basically any player that had a great season or a great string of seasons in a row or whatever, they're all on it. And also, obviously, Euchre and Selig and those guys are on it. The Walk of Fame is all the way around. Hall of Famers are on it. And, like, some of our best players are on it, such as Braun, you know, Yount, Molitor, Cooper, and, you know, just certain guys like that that would just had phenomenal seasons. But, yeah, like, in recent years, we've had, you know, CC Sabathia put up on the Wall of Fame and guys like that who had just absolutely amazing, short-lived, but, you know, amazing times with us.
Speaking of Euchre, where can people find the Euchre seat? And can you visit that even if you don't have a ticket for that seat or section?
Oh, yeah. It's literally behind home plate, terrace level. It's as far back as you can go. And there is a Euchre statue up there. It's him, like, sitting in a seat. And it's actually colored. You know, it's not just like a bronze one or whatever. You can actually, you know, get a pic with him and all that. I think the ushers start to kick people out of that area if they don't have a ticket by the first inning. So, you know, it's kind of like, all right, get your picture and go, you know?
Oh, gotcha. It's good to do that before the game or whatnot.
Yep. And if it's like a random Tuesday night where, you know, nobody's up there, and I don't think it's a big deal going up at any time. So
I have two final questions. First is, if someone comes into town and they only have one game that they can go to, would you recommend a Friday night, a Saturday, or a Sunday afternoon game? What is your favorite experience?
I'll tell you the truth, my least favorite is Sundays. Usually I'm not the biggest day game fan. Okay. That's my own personal preference. And like on Sundays, like, everybody brings their kids and gets kind of a mess in there a little bit, but I mean, Friday or Saturday would be fine, but Saturdays is when we do the giveaways. So it'd be, you know, that would be, you know, if you're specifically looking to come up and see this giveaway, like the other week, it was a Hawaiian shirt or a bobblehead, or I don't know. We got all kinds of stuff that we just different styles of things. There's a Yeti cup one of the years. There's a just endless amounts of stuff that you can think of. So Saturdays would be if you're looking to get a giveaway, but Fridays is just a fun evening, I think, overall.
Or for giveaway days, do you have to worry about lining up early? Do they have enough for everyone coming in? Is it one of those 2 hours in line before, you know, gates open?
A busy game for us, usually it does take a while because, honestly, of all the stadiums I've been to, we might have one of the worst entries because they just go slower than a lot of others. And it's mainly, I think, a gate issue. Like, I think they could expand that somehow. But I'd recommend getting in a little early, but it's most of the time the giveaways are like 35,000 plus, and most of the time we have around that. So, but sometimes they'll say we only have 10,000 or we only have 20,000 or something like that. So then maybe you want to get a little earlier.
Cool. And you just kind of told me one of your gripes about the building. What's your favorite thing about the building? What's your favorite thing about American Family Field?
There's a lot of things that I consider favorite things. And the majority of the fans it's just always great to talk with, you know, random people about the sport and everything and how they got into it and how excited they get and everything. I like the PA announcers really good. I like they do nice effects now for their intros and everything. They'll do like the lights flashing, like whenever opposing pitchers called in from the bullpen, they do like this little dance party thing. So there's all kinds of flashing lights and it looks like a nightclub for a few seconds. And I'm still waiting for the day when a pitcher gets hurt doing that, but, but it's still, there's really not a lot not to like about that place. I only have 3 or 4 gripes overall, but they're pretty minor, to tell you the truth.
I guess this is my last question. What do you think people should know or take away from baseball in Milwaukee when they come? What do you think Milwaukee baseball is all about?
I would want people to see it and be like, okay, this is a baseball town. Like, people, they love baseball here. And it was proven back, you know, when we lost the Braves way before I was born, obviously, but when we lost the Braves, and then before we got the team, they held an exhibition game, and, you know, 57,000 people were there. And it was like, and they're like 90% of them were from Milwaukee. So it's like, okay, yeah, they want baseball bad. And that's what I want my takeaway to be for fans that come up and be like, okay, yeah, they love baseball here.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Chuck. That was great. I really appreciate you taking some time to talk about American Family Field. And this was a lot of great information.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, always feel free to message if people have certain questions. I go there all the time. So
absolutely. Thanks so much. Before we go today, we are going to talk everybody's favorite subject, rankings. Specifically, I want to give you my rankings for the 8 domed stadiums in MLB. So for this ranking, I'm going on ballpark design, feel of the building, amenities, atmosphere, plus a little bit of my expectations and experience. It's hard not to count that. So, number one, I have to put T-Mobile Park in Seattle as number one. I almost didn't include it in this list because the roof is open 78% of the time, and I have personally never been there when it was closed. I almost said I haven't been there as an indoor stadium, and that is the other reason why it's at the top of this list for roofed stadiums, because unlike the other ballparks on this list, Seattle's roof is just like a big umbrella that covers the stadium from the rain. It's still an outdoor ballpark, and that makes it the top of the list. Number two, Minute Maid Park. I am a sucker for retro park architecture, and this feels like they put a dome on top of a retro ballpark. And this feels like they put a roof on top of a retro ballpark. I really like the exterior architecture. I love the field dimensions and the Crawford boxes. The food was good, plenty of social spaces. I could go to multiple games and find different viewpoints. The layout of the grandstands reminds me a lot of Oracle Park, which isn't that surprising considering they opened the same year. Not a twin, but a cousin. Number three, this week's park, American Family Field. Like I said, feels very Milwaukee, great sense of place. The Saturday night atmosphere was great. I loved the sausages, both on the field and in my mouth. I felt like I was inside, but those windows helped a lot. Number four, Globe Life Field. You know, it's new, and I know it's a big improvement over being outside in the Texas sun, but I really like the old stadium across the street. And the new one, aside from air conditioning, didn't do much for me. You know, it looks like a big barn or hangar from the outside. Inside, I don't know, maybe it was where I sat. I had good seats. I was on the field level, dugout reserved, great seats. But we had our own special concourse, and that felt like I was inside an NBA arena, not a ballpark. And that is always a big deal for me. I'm not trying to visit all 30 NBA arenas. I'm trying to go to ballparks. So don't get me wrong. I love the Warriors' new home arena, the Chase Center. It's very luxurious. I've taken lots of pictures when I visit. But I don't want my ballparks to feel that way. I want my ballparks to feel like ballparks. Luxury, sure, but make sure I'm still feeling like I'm at a ballpark, not a stadium, not an arena. I'll have a lot more thoughts on Globe Life Field when we get to it. Number five, Tropicana Field. I actually thought about putting this at number four because of how great my experience was and how the ballpark exceeded my expectations. I liked how the roof seemed to let the light in. I liked the way the Rays ownership has really gotten the most out of the space with good social spaces, good food, intimate seating. The thing that made me put it at number five and Globe Life at number four, even though I didn't have as good of a time in Arlington, was the idea that what if this was my home ballpark? Would I still feel this way having to go back to my 10th or 20th game? I think that's where the charm of Tropicana Field wears off just a little bit, and I start wishing for a new ballpark, and that's what they're getting, so they feel the same way. But for what it is, I liked it a lot. Number six, Rogers Center. Now, I'm not going to completely go on experience because of two things. Number one, I haven't been there since they've been doing these new renovations, and I think they're going to help with the new social spaces in the outfield and the new angled seats inside. The second reason I can't really judge it fairly is because I did go to the stadium, but I kind of watched the game from my hotel room, which gives you a very different experience. We'll talk about that when we talk. Number 7, Lone Depot Park. Okay, well, it was pouring outside, so being able to go see a game with nothing else available in Miami was pretty great. I liked being able to hear the rain on the roof, and the Bobblehead Museum was pretty cool. But it felt pretty small to me. Like I could explore the whole park in one game. Like if I looked around from my seat, I could see everything that was in the stadium. I like when the ballpark feels like a little village. I also, you know, I'm not an architect. Sooner or later, maybe I'll appreciate the architecture, but, you know, I'm not a huge modern fan. I like my ballparks kind of regal and classic, but that's just personal taste. Number 8, Chase Field. The box in the desert. I also got to see them close the roof for this game. It started open and they closed the roof, so that was cool. It was the third game of the D-backs' existence, and they showed it off. These days, I hear they do not close the roof if there's anybody inside because of safety reasons. Still, my big takeaway was that when the roof is closed, we're playing baseball inside of a big hangar. And when the roof is open, it's like you open the moonroof on your car. Granted, I haven't been there in 25 years. Maybe my next experience will rocket it all the way up to number 7. Well, that's our show. I'd like to thank Chuck Kreckel for coming on and sharing all his experiences and opinions with us. Join us next week as we head back outside for some fresh air in the Rockies. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, join us next week as we head back outside for some fresh air in the Rockies. Talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at ToursWithJacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.